Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. He is a noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com as well. iowawatch.org is his exceptional public service show down in Iowa, as well as also he joins us from the Palatial Broadcasting Complex at KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hi, Jeff.
Palatial, indeed.
Well, you and I have been in radio stations. We know what
That's a very fair point. I don't see vermin walking across the floor. So, yes, palatial it is.
Well, no, the vermin is in my guest. I got a rat coming in for my next interview. No, I'm just joking. No, it's not.
Eric Paulson?
Oh. No, that's the leech. The albino leech is coming in tomorrow. No, actually, he
was going to say your current guest is the vermin, but that's okay.
Don't talk about Brett that way. No, Paulson. Paulson won't ever come on the air with me. I don't know why. I just maybe I called him the albino leech a few times. I don't know. I don't know if someone wants to take offense by that. I guess so.
You're not listening. You don't know what was said.
I don't know. I really. It's all fake news, really. The Republicans in the Senate, can they get out of this at this point? Because either they are going to allow this woman to come testify against Kavanaugh on Monday, and they are not going to be able to help themselves. They are going to victim shame her. They're going to attack her. They are going to come off as callous and cold. They're even talking about letting their aides, the female aides they have, because it's all white men that are on this Judiciary Committee for the Republicans, having them ask the questions because they don't want to come across as just white guys berating her. So they'll have the female staffers berate her. Or they try to jam this thing through, probably do not get enough Republican votes for that to happen, at least on the Senate floor, and then end up having this fail. I mean, is there a way out at this point for the Republicans?
Well, let me again say something that I said on your show and on my air 2 years ago. I've said it again recently, but I want to start by pointing out, in my mind, Merrick Garland should have had a hearing 2 years ago.
Yes.
And if they wanted to vote him down, they could have voted him down. But the man deserved a hearing. Many in the Senate had already voted against him for the federal court. Chuck Grassley was one of them. All right. So they could be consistent. You have a hearing. You didn't vote for him before. You're not voting for him now. There you go. But they have, in essence, invited what they're getting now based upon their action then. I don't care at all for what Dianne Feinstein apparently did. And I say apparently because, again, we don't know all of this, but apparently she had information 2 months ago, didn't raise it during her one-on-one with Kavanaugh, didn't share it with anybody else, didn't bring it up at the hearing, and then after the hearing, and we're down to the date of a vote, already after the one-week committee delay, which is standard procedure. I don't care for that because, frankly, I think that is double victimization of the woman who says she was harmed.
Well, can I want to just stop you right there. If Feinstein would have brought this up during the Kavanaugh moment, and we'll talk about drama within Washington, D.C.
Right.
She would have been vilified as trying to do a gotcha moment for camera time. And she would have. Now, this letter was out there, and it didn't go to Feinstein first. I can't remember who the House member that got this first, but they gave it to Feinstein. And I agree. I don't know why she was keeping it so close to the cuff as much as she was. But I don't think that there was going to ever be a time for her to release this letter where there wasn't going to be a tremendous amount of criticism of her because of the flammable nature of this allegation.
Well, here's the problem. And again, and I want to say something that I said earlier this week, and that is I am not in any way commenting upon the merits of what Dr. Ford is claiming. I have no idea. Everything I'm talking about here is what everyone swirling around has been doing. Okay. I have no idea about her allegations or assertions, and I'm not commenting on that at all. Because again, as someone who worked with the state attorney general's office on domestic and sexual violence prevention and prosecution, I understand that those who are a victim often don't come forward for many years for a variety of reasons. So this is nothing about that. I just want to be so abundantly clear because it's so easy to take the cheap shot and say, well, if it was such a big deal, why didn't she say something? Not going there at all. In terms of the problem here, if it had been brought up, let's say in July, if Feinstein first learned of it in July, which is what I think the narrative is, if it would have come out then, there would have been the predictable hue and cry about made-up allegations, et cetera, but there would have been time to go through it. You could have asked the man at the hearing the whole bit. It lends itself to political criticism by having it come out at the time that it now is coming out. And I am really disturbed about the woman in question here and how she's being treated. And I say it this way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, I don't want anybody, you know, popping a top when I say both sides are doing this, but I really am concerned. I'm not alleging. I'm concerned that she is becoming an unwitting and unwilling pawn in this whole thing, and each side is able to do it. And it's ridiculous because, all right, so she had a lie detector. I've heard people say, well, why would she have the lie detector if she did not intend to testify? Well, I think that's a little short-sighted.
She wanted to have it before someone said, because if she didn't have it, they would all said, well, do a lie detector test.
Exactly. I mean, this is where we cannot get to the fundamental question of, A, did this happen? B, was he involved? And C, if the first two are true, is it an automatic disqualifier? That is the discussion, in essence, that should be had. Instead, we're having discussions about the political side of it. And that's what's really disturbing about the whole thing. Now, you've also got the potential trap. And I say potential because, again, nobody knows. Judge Kavanaugh has, in every manner and form possible, denied anything happening. If this woman, Dr. Ford, I didn't mean to just call her this woman, I blanked on her name. If Dr. Ford comes forward and is credible, not just with regard to an assault, but having him being the assailant, if she is credible and he is declaratory in saying it didn't happen, that is a disqualifier. Because it's one thing to dismiss behavior. And I'm not just dismissing, but I'm saying it's one thing to dismiss something and say it's 35 years ago. It's another for there to be a cover-up of something. And so to me, the fundamental facts that truly are relevant about his qualifications are being totally obscured by a political game. Now, the most recent thing I just heard before we came on was that the Judiciary Committee is saying, we want you to testify, Dr. Ford. We'll do it in public or in private. We will do it, here in Washington. We'll even come to California. That's the newest thing. Judiciary Committee on the road. So but to her point, I don't know what it is that she would say beyond what she's already said. So beyond theater, what is this?
And she's getting death threats, and she's getting all that stuff that comes with this stuff. And so it's easy to see how she's shying away from it. I want to look at this from three different points. First of all, I know you don't want to talk about the allegations. The fact that she basically told this to a therapist in 2012 for this to be, and the therapist has already confirmed that, yes, indeed, this story was told to her in 2012. For this to be a setup, this would be the most elaborate setup in the history of mankind. It is in the realm of putting a birth announcement in a Hawaii newspaper for an African-American boy in 1961 in case he eventually becomes president of the United States. You know, that kind of delusional thing. And also Chuck Todd, to give Chuck Todd credit, Chuck Todd brought up the point. He's like, she's never said what party it's there. He's denied being at the party. Well, she never said what party she was at. So how can he deny it if he doesn't even know which party she's referring to, which is interesting. But that we'll put the allegation aside because I think it is interesting. Her allegation, it does seem to have a lot of credibility. That being said, you brought up the political game. I think one of the things you're saying here is this. Why did the Democrats wait so long? Well, the reason why the Democrats waited so long is now they have put the Republicans in a pickle where they either have to ram Kavanaugh through, try to scramble and get a replacement for Kavanaugh approved before if a Democratic Senate takes hold, which is a possibility now, or have to find someone that the Democratic Senate is going to approve for Trump, which is going to be even harder for them to do. And so I understand your frustration and how this Dr. Ford is becoming a pawn. But the reality is the Democrats are playing a very a bit of a political game here, which has basically put the Republicans in a corner.
Oh, not a bit. They're playing a tremendous political game. And I am more concerned about the human, what some would call collateral damage. And I use that term rather in a smart alecky way. It's not collateral, it's real damage. But that's what some look at it at. If you do look at it from a political standpoint, that's why I started with Merrick Garland. They got pantsed, the Republicans, in this, in essence, because they're going along, well, now we have votes and now we have this candidate. What could possibly go wrong? And they got outfoxed. Now, if you sit back, if we would have had this conversation in August about, well, how's this going to get derailed? What could possibly happen, right? The votes are there, et cetera. The only thing in the current climate that could possibly derail this nomination is something tied to what we are calling the Me Too movement. And the Democrats came up with one that was just laid right out there. And from a play the game standpoint, now it's a game that is making a lot of regular voters sick to their stomachs, but from a game standpoint, they played it out very well. And so now you've got this very odd situation where they called a hearing for Monday. It is more days in between release of allegation and hearing than was the case when we first learned of Anita Hill's name. It's immaterial, but I make the comparison because I heard the number of days. Okay, fine. So let's say she does not testify. Do you have a hearing and have him testify? What point does that serve? And if you don't have him answer it under oath, are you then condoning in a good old boy network sort of way, boys will be boys behavior? Oh, no. I mean, from the Democrat standpoint, there was one way to play it, and he played it like a violin.
And if they don't do anything, I mean, I think the optics of this at this point, I don't know if the Republicans can win in any on any channel. And so it's, you're going to see either this is just about party and they're just going to, you know, ram Kavanaugh through, or else they're going to have to admit they got outplayed and they're going to have to take a step back before they fill that seat. We'll take a break. When we come back, I've got the best political question of the day for you. Get your thinking cap ready to go, okay?
Okay, thinking cap is now, let me crinkle the tinfoil. Okay, now
there,
I'm good.
There you go. Jeff Stein joining us. Common Good Books in St. Paul. Once again, you can find his books. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Summer's over and the kids are back in school. That means you can call Zero Res to clean up all the dirt your family dragged in from the outside. Their patented powered water will clean up the toughest messes and won't leave behind any smelly dirt-attracting residue. I even had them clean up a mess earlier this summer from a few nameless friends who got a little clumsy with the wings and barbecue sauce. Just call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com and ask for the AM 950 special. Three-room Zero Res abides starting at $149. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers. They offer a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, feature incredibly low interest rates, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And right now, they are paying top dollar for your trade-in, even if you didn't buy from them. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Serve 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are 4 delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
By the way, Seavers Fall Festival, we got tickets tomorrow and Friday to give away right here on AM 950. And Michael Broadcorp is going to join us tomorrow with Allison Mann. Remember I told you they need to write a book? We'll talk about that coming up tomorrow right here on the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us as we're talking national politics. Jeff, all right. Trump is atrocious at going to natural disaster areas. He just cannot do it. Today, he was apparently talking to an older man when his helmet had been damaged after a large yacht was washed ashore and was shipwrecked against his wooden deck of his porch during Hurricane Florence. According to the White House pool report from the New York Times journalist Mark Lander, Trump gazed at the yacht and said, "Is this your boat?" When the owner said no, Trump reportedly turned and yelled in reply with a smile, "At least you got a nice boat out of the deal."
There was something to the effect of, "What's the rule? Do you get to keep this?"
Oh, God.
It's the boat. Looks like the boat.
Sorry about the damage to your house, but he is so bad at this. Here's the question for you. Okay. Would it be better for him to just not go to these areas and look like he doesn't care versus go there and look like a complete idiot?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think you're the one who spilled the barbecue sauce at the house party that I heard about in the commercial.
Yeah, that was, you know, sorry about that, my bad. It was delicious.
Yeah, does not surprise me, but yeah, delicious. You got to go with what your strengths are, okay? There are some people who, for example, look really good in a suit. Trump looks good in a suit. He doesn't look good in casual clothes.
No.
Why do you put him in a situation there, therefore, when he doesn't look good? Okay, Bill Clinton was the consoler-in-chief. He was good at that. It's not to say he wasn't good at other things, but he was good at that. He could do that. It's not Trump's strong suit. And so instead of the awkward situation of – you know, he does fine when he's tossing, you know, bottles of water or meals at people or whatever. Have him do that. Have him go to hospitals, you know, this sort of thing. But again, it's just setting it up for conversations like we're having right now.
I don't know. You when you say have him throw bottles of water at people,
did he do with that after one of these? Was it last year? And he was helping put, you know, cases of water in a truck, and he was, you know, like tossing. I don't know. It was something.
He misunderstood the concept of the pickup truck. He says so. He has the flatbed of the pickup truck, and he chucks all the food and the water into the cab with them. It's like, you could just put it in the back. But, I mean, really, I mean, he's never going to overcome the tossing of the paper towels in Puerto Rico.
Like, okay, it was paper towels. That's why I knew there was something being tossed. I couldn't remember. It was the thousands of bottles of water that were never delivered. There, now I've got it straight. Yes. Okay. What you have to do, now this in a very serious way, in an optic sort of way, the president of the United States has to appear to be in control at all times. That's one of the key roles. When George W. Bush was overseas on some trip and they finished the news conference and he tried to get off stage and the door was locked, that's not being in control. Trump trying to make small talk with someone with all these cameras, you know, I'm told he's very good one-on-one. We sure haven't seen it in situations like this. But he has to go, because otherwise, what does he hear? Well, he didn't care. He didn't go. Well, okay, but so since he has to go, how about you find a situation where he looks good and actually is doing some good, as opposed to, again, chucking paper towels in Puerto Rico like they're the New Jersey Generals footballs that he still has.
Well, and you want to know the truth. You just nailed it. If this is the guy that owns the golf course down in North Carolina, he'll probably actually be a decent guy because he respects that. He has zero respect or ability to communicate with the common person. That he did these rallies and stuff like that, but he loves them cheering for him, but he doesn't relate to them. I think he's to a point terrified of them. And that comes across there when he's like, "Hey, you got a boat." Well, you just told that to someone whose house they just went through a freaking hurricane. What are you doing? And yeah,
as a rapport, I think he has more of a rapport with the quote unquote common person, whatever that means, than you may have just suggested. But clearly this situation, he's not an empathetic person to be able to say, "Wow, your house just got demolished." Instead, he looks and goes, "Hey, that's a nice piece of property you may have." You know, I mean, it's a very different mindset. And the thing with the golf course, what did he say to some the pool reporters today? "I really like this region. You know, I don't know why, but I've just always liked it." And then they point out, "Sir, you own a golf course on it. Of course you like it. It's your property." So, again, it's somewhat maddening. Well, it's more than a little maddening. But again, let's blame the White House. They by now should know their man and what his strengths and weaknesses are. Don't put him in a situation where he becomes a viral video or fodder for talk shows.
I actually think it might be best for him not to even go and send Melania, send Pence, but just, you know, and just, you know, pretend he's doing big boy stuff in the main office, because he does this. So, I've never seen anyone do it as poorly as he does. And that's any party across the board.
I would be really bad at it, but you also see I'm not doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff Stein joining us usually for his exceptional commentary. We'll spotlight this one. Go to totallyiowa.com, iowawatch.org, and of course the Iowa Politics Report. We'll try to get that up a little bit later on. Jeff, thank you very much for the time.
Be well, Matthew. Thank you.